Position 1, Republican.
This is Alexa. You're listening to News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Bill 15, this is News Radio 560 KPQ. Looks like it wants to snow out there, it seems to me. Or am I projecting? Well, I don't know. That's the weather, that's your weather report. Do the real weather report in the morning, and by the afternoon, the weather report is, looks like it's snowing. Not exactly accurate. But for the show today, consider this. Where do ghosts come from? I mean, we think we know because we watch the Travel Channel, which boasts nearly nonstop ghost programming, even when Halloween is far behind us. Come on, turn it on right now. I bet they have ghost shows on. Trapped. Yeah, ghosts are not happy because they're trapped in their home or their room or the garage or where they just won't go through all the motions of being alive while only partially recognizing that they're really not all here. It's like they got dressed to go to a party, but they spent the next 300 years trying to get out the front door. We tell them to pass over, but they've lost track. They've lost the knack of it, or else they never had it. Pass over to what? Well, that's where your expertise grinds to a halt, doesn't it? You say pass over? Yeah, you're dead. You should move along. But where do I do that? How do I move along? Well, I don't know. On this side, we don't know anything. Just pass over. That's all we know. You'll get further instructions when you get there. When I get where? I don't know. Nobody here knows. Just go. Go on, go. You can't hang around here turning on the lights on and off and scaring the neighbor's chihuahua. Go over. Well, if you had gone over when it was time, you might have been born again already. You could have been a contender. Go on, get. Half the people don't believe in you anyway, like that matters. In fact, belief does nothing for ghosts. You can ask them, after all, if you ever meet one. They partially believe they are alive, not a ghost, which throws belief into a cocked hat, doesn't it? Mixed up. That's what they are. And that's partly why they just blunder about. They do not belong in our time, and they really don't belong very well in the misty other life that they float around in. Moody? Yeah, they're moody. They're known to be moody. In some houses or hotels or asylums or jails or prisons or orphanages or abandoned train stations, they hang out. They frighten people because that's about all they can do. There are no cupcakes being served in the half-light of a ghostly presence, although some hang out in the kitchen and bake ghost bread and ghost food every night. Yeah, ghost bread and ghost cakes are rather light, not very filling. And an hour later, you're hungry again. And that is the ghostly introduction to our show about ghosts and haunted houses. And to join me, our friend Ron Evans, who is a living person and has seen ghosts. Yes, Ron?
I have not actually had any encounters with something that I would call ghosts. What I'm bringing today are some letters that I got from my podcast, Tales from the Space Pod listeners.
Really?
Sharing their encounters. I have had lots of encounters of the UFO kind. Nothing Sasquatchy, nothing ghostly. And I don't know if I'm sad or happy about that.
I haven't had any UFO sightings, and for that I feel like I haven't lived a full life till I see one.
Yeah, I understand that feeling.
Haven't done the Sasquatch thing, although I would like to under controlled conditions. I don't want to be lunch. Really,
the Sasquatch thing. Yes.
But I have lived in a haunted house, and I have encountered ghosts. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about that is, I don't know that I ever believed, as people say, in ghosts until I was actually among them, and then it was really too late. There wasn't any chance to say, well, I don't believe in them, because we have ample evidence that they existed.
Well, we talk about a lot of paranormal things on the podcast, of course, and that is the going thing. You don't believe it until you believe it, and you can't believe it until you experience it. Now, some people are more open-minded than others when it comes to what could be possible, but ultimately, you don't believe it until you believe it.
The funny thing about belief is it has no effect really on reality. You can believe anything you want and just make up as preposterous a story as you like. And if that's good for you and you're capable of believing it, then proceed. That's all on you.
This is the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night, more than ghosts.
But if you don't believe in ghosts and encounter a ghost, you can deny that it's there or that there was a trick of the light or it was a swamp gas or a weather balloon.
Mental illness. Lack of sleep.
Yeah, either mine or someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do encounter a ghost and recognize that it's there, it asks another question. Not only do you now, you have ample proof the ghost exists, does that mean what else? What else is on the list of things that exist?
We just played The Shining last night at Radar Station, and Stanley Kubrick, who directed that, was having a conversation with Stephen King, who wrote the book upon which the movie was loosely based, at some point they were talking about what's scary and what's not scary. And Kubrick said, I don't find ghost stories to be scary because that's proof that you can beat death. You've survived death. And Stephen King said something to the tune of, well, what if you survived death to enter the kingdom of hell? Kubrick said something like, I don't believe in hell. But the interesting part about that is,
we're back to belief.
I always kind of thought that the idea of ghosts was encouraging as well. Obviously, it depends on what that existence would be like. Are you just floating the world forever? That seems scattershot. And by the way, if you are just floating, this occurred to me when I was driving here, if you're just floating about, if that is what a ghost is, you know, sometimes these places, there are relics or houses that you seem to be tethered to. But what if a meteor destroys the planet and you're just floating about in space? Are you still tethered to like a 2x4 from that house?
Ooh, that's
some scattershot things here that I don't understand the science behind. But
especially because there's this idea that you could escape being a ghost if you could just go over, but you don't know how, or you've lost the knack, or you don't know the direction, or you never saw the light, or there was
or
other
you don't
elements.
Want to. I prefer that you're not leaving because you don't want to. I don't like the idea that you are being forced to be neither hither or nither. You know what I mean? I like the idea that, I don't want to go there or here. I like Earth. I haven't checked out the pyramids. I'm going to float over yonder.
I'm going to get, I wonder if you can travel if you're a ghost. Can you leave and go where you want? Usually you're tethered to a room or a house or a hallway.
Or even Earth. Or, can you float to the moon?
Yeah,
can you
go
check out Uranus? Well, that's a different show, I suppose.
It is now.
It always is at some point.
Well, the whole idea about being a ghost is something that the ghost may not be aware of. That's what we've come to expect. That's what we've come to. Yeah. That's how we write it off and saying, well, the ghost isn't aware that he's going in a circle. But there's another element to the ghostly world, and that is they happen to populate some specific areas or areas that are sensitive or wide open to these type of things. And that's where I met my ghost in Miami. I was in a house with three ghosts that we knew about and found out later with an unfortunate seance that we should have never have done.
Oh, you went tempting fate. Interesting.
Yeah, well.
So what were the experiences in this house?
Well, first one was, when I moved in, it was a friend of mine who was in a band. I've been doing a summer show in Miami and I needed a place to live. And this was a beautiful three-story house made of dark Florida pine, had verandas on the second floor that opened out into tiled bedrooms, had a portico on the side where the horses used to drive up, and had a horse barn in the back where they used to have their carriages and their horse barns. It was a beautiful, shouldn't have never been empty. And it was right by Biscayne Bay. It was in a neighborhood where it should have been upscale, but it had been left behind. And as I'm going in the front door, my friend Ron, who had leased me the place, said, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you, the house is haunted. just a backward glance over his shoulder and says, I got to go, get it up, you're on the third floor, so blah, blah, blah. He's gone. And the next day, I wake up early in the morning. All the guys work for the equivalent of the PUD, which was like the PG&E company of Florida. They were for power and electric guys. Get up early, put on your overalls and work all day. They weren't the least bit, they were not by their lifestyle the type of person you would think would live in a ghostly house or be acquainted with ghosts, but there it was. They shined it on. I thought I was rather sensitive to it, but in that first morning there, I hear all this talking going on downstairs, and I said, well, I wonder who's here. I go downstairs to discover I'm the only person in the house. Nobody in front, nobody in back, no cars in the driveway. And that was my first indication that there was something else going on. In fact, a whole lifestyle was going on. Second time I met the ghost was we had a very cold spot right in the middle of the house that ran up under it came from a cupboard under the stairs, much like Harry Potter's cupboard. And it was by the entrance, the servant's entrance to the kitchen. And if you stood in that spot on the first floor, the second floor, or the third floor, depending on how it was, you lined it up all the way to the bottom floor, that cold column of air was always there. Mm. And one night, all the lights are off. The lights are on in the kitchen, but the lights are off in the dining room. So the kitchen door swings open, and a real person walks through. When the kitchen door swings closed, now I'm in a dark room that had just been full of light. And a woman dressed like a Gibson girl with the high hair, and the high neck collar around her throat, and a brooch around her neck, and she was very well put together. Just went right through me. She just coasted right by, looking over my head. No idea that I was there whatsoever.
These are pretty major encounters.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
We later found out there was a kid that was about 6 years old that had died sometime in the
old ago. That was my question. It's like, what? So you did do some research into the house.
Well, we have. Here's a cautionary tale. Don't let people come to your house and just say, hey, I know about this stuff. Let's have a seance and we'll get going and figure it all out.
Sure.
It was a bad, bad mistake that a lot of people paid for. So we had a big party that night and it turned into a real problem. People just got up and people got up and left. There was a beauticians college down the road. We had a bunch of girls from the beauticians college attending the party. And when they went home, they all had to spend that night together in one person's room because whatever was in our house followed them home and gave them all sorts of problems.
Yep. I've got a story like
something
that.
Something you didn't see, something you didn't feel, something you didn't touch, something you can't hear that's in the room with you giving you a lot of grief.
I've got a story that deals with something following somebody home.
It happens a lot.
Asking, and this is what has prevented me. Now, I'm curious about the paranormal. I'm curious about the afterlife and the idea of ghosts. EVPs, the electronic voice phenomenon, I believe, mm-hmm. is what, the idea of capturing voices from beyond on some recorder.
Special device.
Yeah, those creep me all kinds of out. And that sort of feeds into these creatures, if this is what this is, they really don't seem to know where they are half the time and what's going on. That's creepy in and of itself. But this is what's kept me from going looking. I don't go asking. Even walking into a room and saying, is anything here? Do you want to talk to me?
You're asking for it.
I have heard too many stories where something is like, something. I don't want to go awakening something. Because if these things are floating around and some people believe in them, some people don't, if all of a sudden there's somebody that's paying them attention and...
They will respond.
Or maybe they have this thing that, some people... I'm convinced that some people do have abilities to see and hear things that the rest of... You know, there's theories that cats, whenever they're staring at something in the room, it's not
dogs
there that they're
too.
Seeing...
Dogs,
something
dogs
like that. I think that there are people that have, or at least claim to, have some sort of connection with another realm, whatever that is. If all of a sudden you have got their attention, of course they're going to follow you home. Of course they're going to feel comforted by you. It's like, this person gets me. Just like we do with relationships in life.
Sure.
When we find someone that gets us and understands us and gives us what we want and
need. She loves
me. We're going
me.
Where they go.
I shall follow her home.
She loves me. Yes, I shall follow her wherever she goes. And I know so many people that have told me that. Not interested. I don't mind if they watch me when I'm in the shower, but I don't want a relationship with the ghost. By the way, you said a beautiful phrase. You said met the ghost, which sounds like an old-timey way of saying died.
Oh, I met the ghost.
Met the ghost last week.
What happened to old Bill? Oh, he met the ghost.
He met the ghost. I really like that. Well, how much time do we got? Because I got a couple stories. I don't want to
tell me one in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Oh, I got plenty of time. were you done, by the way, with your haunted house? I didn't want to cut you
off.
We'll
just go free form.
Yeah, sounds good. So this is from one of our podcast listeners, and I'm going to jump back over to this one because this is the one that talks about something following you home. And again, so how are you doing the seance, by the way, while I'm pulling this up?
Well, a person showed up and said that they knew how to conduct a seance, and we had all the people at the party. So there was about 20 people around a grand table in a large formal dining room with just candles on the table. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
The room was buzzing before we ever made any sort of contact. And the individual who was running the seance came to the conclusion that there were three ghosts. One was a man outside in the yard who we had heard many times. He's sort of a noisemaker out there.
Mm.
One was a child.
There's one in every haunted house.
That was not exactly childlike. I mean, we had there wasn't anybody running or playing or giggling.
No.
And then the adult woman. And apparently they were not related to one another. That house had been there for a long time.
Yeah.
So over the period of time, these beings have been, for whatever reason, had not been able to escape the influence of that house.
That's like the first season of American Horror Story, where there's several generations of ghosts coexisting. It's interesting. So this is from Jennifer, and I believe she's from Canada. But she said, in 2010, my cousin Carly and I decided to try our luck at ghost hunting after watching some of the ghost shows on TV. We picked the place we thought would be the creepiest, most haunted spot to go, the Highcroft Mansion in Vancouver. I live 2 hours away, so it was a bit of a jaunt, but once we made it to this place that was known for hauntings, we knew we had picked the right spot. The Highcroft Mansion belonged to a war hero named General Alexander Duncan McCrae. And after he died, it became a hospital for wounded veterans of World War II. Most of the reports involve seeing wounded soldiers limping down the halls, blood that appears and disappears, and the sounds of men screaming in agony. Listeners can find all sorts of well-known ghost legends associated with this location, but we went and experienced a bit of a puzzle. There are a lot of events at this place, like weddings, galas, and at one, the day we arrived was no different. But we still managed to sneak our way into a hallway near the large kitchen. We were completely clueless of what we were doing, but we just started asking questions. Is there anyone here? Anybody from the war? Do you want to speak to us? I will be honest, we felt a little silly, especially with it being light out, ground workers outside the windows, and event coordinators all over the place. But we drove all that way. My cousin Carly noticed an odd staining on the wall, like something had been there for years but was recently removed. About refrigerator shape and size. We looked at it for a moment, and Carly touched it, and the second her hand hit it, we both heard, plain as day, a male voice say, "I'm in the vault." He said it slowly and monotone. We gasped and looked everywhere for a man that could have said it, but there was nobody around. I asked Carly, "Did you hear what he said?" She said, "I'm in the vault." Her confirmation of hearing it creeped me out too much, and I needed out of there. Game over. This isn't for me. We scooted our butts out of there and went and got ice cream and headed home. As we pulled into our hometown, we both started giggling about it. I mean, come on, what could it have been? It can't just be that easy to go find a ghost, right? We felt silly. Until later that night. I was getting out of the shower and about to go to bed, and I heard the voice again. "I am in the vault." Before I could even wonder if I had imagined it or not, my boyfriend said, "What was that?" I said, "That voice?" He said, "Yeah, I just heard a dude say something." There was no TV on, no radio, nothing. He heard it too. The craziest part is, I picked up my phone to text Carly. There was already a text waiting from her. It said, "OMG, I just heard it again, and my husband heard it too." They heard it at the exact same time that we did at my house. Whatever we encountered at that mansion that day followed both of us home. Now, fortunately, to this day, neither of us have heard the voice again, but I am convinced that somebody in that mansion is, or was, locked up in a vault, and he was trying to get us to find or help him. I'm just too big of a wuss to look into it further. But I will never in my life forget the sound of that monotone voice saying, "I'm in the vault."
That's our pal Ron Evans. Ghost story times, haunted houses if you like, and Halloween is coming.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Old Banker Levine, where trust is everything.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:36, sort of a rainy, gloomy day outside. Michael Knight and Ron Evans. Ron's the proprietor of the radar station. Go by tonight or sometime soon and hang out and buy a painting. Or just make him an offer for the carpet.
Come in
and say hello, if nothing else.
Yeah, tonight we are playing an American Werewolf in Paris. Only $5. And on the 25th,
What time is showtime?
Tonight will be doors at 7, show at 7:30. And on Halloween night, we've got the Radar Dames doing a brand new show, a Halloween show. You do not want to miss that. Tickets are selling.
Is it a laugh riot, or should I bring a personal guard?
You might want to bring a guard. You definitely want to dress up because it's also a costume ball, and there will be prizes. Who doesn't want to go to a costume ball on Halloween?
Don't come as a nurse or a fairy princess, you know. Come as a ghoul of some sort.
Or if you're a nurse, you can come as a nurse because it's going to be spooky. There may be heart stop, like the old William Castle stuff, where they posted nurses at the door. Had to sign an insurance agreement to see this.
The Tingler! Terrifying.
Oh, I love that stuff. If I could do that for a living, I would run an old-timey theater and do those kind of gimmicks. I am a sucker for a gimmick. But I want to talk about something that you brought up quickly on the break.
You're on.
A demon, the idea of a demon. Now, this is something that comes up a lot when we're discussing, what are you hearing? Some people would think that it's not, you know, Uncle Joe, but a demon.
It's possible.
And like I said, I think that it's not a it's basically a lateral move for my brain to think, well, if one exists, the other could exist. But that's an interesting debate amongst people. And a lot of people go out looking for spirits. They think they're dealing with things from the devil. They're getting voices from beyond, but not dead people. Angels and demons.
Elemental creatures, as they say, they're natural, but they were not born.
Doesn't seem prudent. My other issue with ghosts, and this will feed right into my next story, which is probably going to be our last story, is I've got a lot of dead friends. Like, why haven't they come to visit? Maybe they have and I haven't seen it. But my biggest problem with ghosts is, how do you find your way back? Like, what is preventing Uncle Joe from visiting occasionally? You know what I mean? Even if it's knocking a vase over or whispering something creepy in your ear, because Uncle Joe was a creep, let's all be honest.
Oftentimes, if people make an agreement, they know they're dying. They'll say, I'll come back, and how will I know it's you? Well, I'll do something. I'll whistle. I'll play a song. I'll open the window.
Mm-hmm.
But how the real challenge to the ghost seems to me to muscle the energy and the strength to be able to do anything in our environment, because they have no body anymore.
Or the interest. I like the idea that whatever's on the other side is just too interesting, and they just forget us.
I would think so.
I like the thought of them just not being able to.
I've never had a friend or a member of my family come back from the other side, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Maybe in a dream, but I have no knowledge of it.
Well, here's somebody that has an experience that is probably a lot like this. Now, this is not Scooby-Doo dark, but real world dark.
Ooh.
And kind of touching on one level, but this is from Leslie. She says, this is not a very long story, and I've never talked about it outside of my family gatherings, for all the usual reasons, I suppose, but this is right out of Paranormal Activity. I was washing my dishes at my parents' house one night, and everyone else was watching TV in the living room. Out of the blue, I felt my neck hairs stand on end, and I felt like someone was standing right behind me. Assuming it was my dad, who was always sneaking up behind me to scare me, I turned around and saw no one. So I went back to washing the dishes in the sink. Suddenly, I could not move, like, at all. I couldn't see clearly as everything went red and blurry. I thought I was having some sort of a medical emergency, but I couldn't even yell for help. This only lasted a few seconds, and as the red in my vision faded, I dropped the plate I was holding, and it shattered across the kitchen floor, and I screamed. This brought everyone else into the kitchen, and I was able to tell them what had just happened. My dad asked, "Did Aaron scare you?" Aaron was my boyfriend, but he was not at the house this evening. I said, no, I thought I was having some sort of stroke or something. I was frozen and blind. My mom said, why did Aaron go running out like that? Did you guys fight? I said, no, Aaron is not here. He hasn't been here all day. They both looked at each other, and my mom said, Leslie, he just ran out of the kitchen and out the front door. I was confused and weak, so I just sat down at the table and tried to call Aaron. He didn't answer his phone. This was not a strange occurrence, so I just went to bed. I had barely fallen asleep when the phone rang. It woke me up, but I didn't answer it. I heard mumbled voices and then crying. I could hear my parents coming up the stairs to my bedroom. My mom grabbed me and said, Aaron was just found dead in his garage by his parents. He had killed himself with a makeshift noose. It was only after the shock of all this started to fade that the timeline of the events of that night came into focus. Aaron would have been dying around the exact time that I was frozen in the kitchen, and when my parents saw him running out the front door. He lived 12 miles from me, and he was never at my house that day, and yet somehow he found a way to come say goodbye to me.
Yeah, I believe that.
I've heard stories like this a few times, including somebody that I know personally had almost an identical experience.
At the incredible moment of death.
As they're on their way out. Now, the theory is, That's your biggest shot.
That's
you're
your
going
exit.
To be able to manipulate time and space as a spirit that has departed your meat puppet. That's the time to do it. And I guess in something like this, I mean, that's as heavy as it gets, really, you know, suicide. Whatever is going through your mind as you're entering the next dimension, maybe it's regret, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's just wanting to say goodbye. And a lot of people do, apparently. There's enough of those stories out there that I do believe it as well. I believe that that's kind of a different type of ghost story.
And if you look at it as metaphysical or supernatural, it's harder to come to grips with it. If you sense it as something that is absolutely as natural as rain.
Yeah.
Not everybody dies and disappears. Some become ghosts. Some are unable to get past their own room, their own house, their own lives, their own problems, their own hate, their own fear, whatever would be happening. People who have been in jails and prisons, scenes of violence and degradation. People who were in asylums and lost their mind. People who were in orphanages, never had a family. people who died in hospitals that weren't the best care. All have a departing story that's unfair, unkind, uncomfortable, full of pain, full of fear, and they're unable to make that next step, which apparently most of us take without even knowing it. Most of us go to the other side without a backward glance, which is why, after all these deaths and all the people on this planet that have moved to the other side, we have no clue whatsoever what the drapes look like.
Right.
On the other side. Whether they have, do you guys have deer? Do they get in the roadway in the middle? No, yes, we have deer, but no roads.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember thinking that it would matter, like if you got into if you died in a violent, sudden car accident, I always thought, I wonder if it would matter what music you were cranking.
Ooh.
And I was in a bad car accident right in front of my house. I got rear-ended at a pretty good clip, and I went into another dimension. Now, obviously, I didn't die, but I was tapping my steering wheel one moment to a Tool song and just cranking it, and the next minute I was in an ambulance. There was nothing in between that had any significance with that song. I remember being, again, I didn't die, so maybe it would be special, but I was disappointed.
It was a serious jostle, though.
I always thought it would be interesting to see what song you went out on, and if that carried you, like if Don't Stop Believing carried you into the afterlife. Is that a sign of where you're headed? But as it turns out, I now feel like it's probably, especially when something's violent and quick like that, it's probably just a switch being thrown. No way to know.
I was warned by a sensitive who I knew, who was a professional metaphysician, I guess is the way to put it, said, the people who commit suicide have the hardest time because it takes a long time to put them back together.
Mm.
They weren't supposed to cross at that time. They weren't supposed to cross in that fashion. They weren't supposed to take their own life. And you just come apart like a broken mirror, and it takes a long time to put the soul back together, or else you're not fit to be reborn, which is really the idea.
It's an interesting thought.
This idea that we all go to one place is pretty limited, too, when you think about it. Well, of course, there are two, right? In Christian iconography, you can go to heaven, you can go to hell. We don't really know what each one's like. In fact, descriptions of hell have become so mundane that an apartment building or an office building will serve as someone's idea of hell if the right mood is sustained over centuries.
The right elevator music. Well, even the Bible's not terribly descriptive on what hell is.
Well, they haven't got a chance.
Pretty vague, yeah.
It's a wild guess based on...
It's basically, probably pretty bad, so do good.
Yeah,
be a good person. And heaven is no different. It's like, probably pretty good, so don't do bad. I remember as a kid, all the stories of heaven and hell didn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, I do think if they exist that it would be, I like the idea that it would be what your mind's eye would perceive it.
I think we have to go to the extra step too and just say they probably have no basis in reality. In other words, whatever was waiting for us on the other side, and it's probably interesting. I'm not saying it's going to be paradise, but it's going to be of some interest. It's got to be a step up from this existence, correct?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we hope.
Will they have roads though?
They have nice roads.
Paved of gold. See, that always threw me, too. That's such a man-made idea of heaven. Gold?
And the gold
is
gold
the root of all evil?
The
Why
gold
would
has
God
no value
his
there.
Kingdom with it?
We have gold everything.
Tricky to me.
No, it's not worth a diamond on our side. But good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck getting used to
that. When you
that.
Meet the ghost.
Mm-hmm. Ron Evans is our special guest. Ghost Stories and Haunted Houses. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Thank you.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:52. We're almost out of time. Once again, the stories that Ron told were from his podcast. How do people get in touch with you to enjoy that?
You can go to talesfromthespacepod.com or check out Tales from the Space Pod on iTunes or all the usual podcasting software.
And if you have a ghost story or a haunted house story to partake in or to reveal to the rest of us, how do they contact you for that?
Ron@boronfilms.com is the best email for that, boronfilms.com. And if you are going to check out the podcast, do know that it's highly R-rated.
Okay. You know, a boron is like 12 morons in a clown car, I think, equals one boron.
How dare you?
Nope.
Yeah, that math does compute, actually.
That's a fact.
And you can join us tonight at Radar Station for a $5 screening of the John Landis classic, An American Werewolf in London.
Ooh.
Great comedy horror film. Beer, wine, and cider, free popcorn, of course. And
oh, my God.
Do get your tickets for the Halloween Burlesque show, Fright Night, Burlesque, and Costume Ball at Radar Station Halloween Night.
You can get those new tickets. Original Halloween material, right?
Absolutely. The show has not been seen before. It's just a one-time show. It's a Halloween show. And you can get tickets for that at RadarStationArt.com.
Damn, we're out of time. Well, I'm not going to finish my ghost stories. You probably don't want to hear them all anyway. But the fact is, I believe that ghosts are an absolute fact. I've seen it, and it's been proven to me beyond the shadow of anybody's doubt. So it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks based on what they believe. In fact, I didn't believe anything before it happened to me. My problem now is, where do you draw the line? If ghosts exist, do vampires exist?
Mm-hmm.
Do wolfmen exist?
It's a slippery slope.
Do banshees exist? You see what I mean? Where do you draw the line? Or as they say in advertising for initiatives, where will it end?
I think right here.
Goodbye.
You're listening to The Agenda.